This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, no, you certainly don't flush it because there's a lot to learn. I mean, we have to understand how the game went, how they played us, what the schemes were. There's a lot of chess moves going on in that game that will be built on this game on both sides of the ball. And yeah, of course, the way the game is played, what we could have done better, certainly. What we did well, same for them, I'm sure, too.
That is Ravens head coach John Harbaugh talking about, I'm going to call it, it's an ugly classic. The divisional round win for the Bills, 27-25. A lot of turnovers, not a lot of offense from the Bills, but the Bills did go on to the AFC Championship. The Ravens did not. And it's the last time the Ravens obviously have played a game. And for more on Baltimore, we go to the Wester Hotline as Kyle Goon of the Baltimore Banner joins us. Kyle, man, good morning. How are we doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
We're hanging in. We're hanging out.
It's week one, man. It's week one. We're here.
We made it.
I was surprised. I kind of would think coming off the AFC Championship game last year, a lot of Bills fans would be ready to go. And then I see in some of the reactions that you guys tagged me in one of your social posts this morning, they're very nervous. I'm surprised to see that. I didn't know that was the prevailing feeling in Buffalo.
Oh, it's like 100% of the time. Kyle, did you see who they lost to in the championship game? I mean, it's year after year after year here.
It's the madness.
It is the madness.
Fair enough. Yeah, the Ravens know that feeling well, too.
Speaking on it, though, Kyle, because you saw it in the mentions, it's also kind of a respect to Baltimore, which is why we wanted to talk to you and get a little more of a look on the opponent, because Bills fans do respect Baltimore. They do respect the run game with Derrick Henry. They do respect Lamar Jackson, and it does look like it is. Overall, Baltimore's just like Buffalo. It is birds of a feather, contending teams that should be pushing for a Super Bowl, having to duke it out in week one.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, obviously the way the last two Ravens seasons have gone where it ends on a game that the Ravens were right in it, you feel like they probably could have won it. And I kind of look at the roster and I think to myself, okay, I'm ready to be hurt again. You know, it's they look stronger than last year in many ways. I mean, Derrick Henry obviously had an amazing season last year. They had DeAndre Hopkins. They've addressed some of their issues in the secondary that dogged them last year. I mean, they look like a stronger roster from top to bottom, and I think the NFL sort of community kind of views it the same way. So you think, like, okay, well, this looks like a Super Bowl team on paper. It's just – it's weird because I just don't think there's anything the Ravens can do in the regular season that proves that they are a Super Bowl team until we get to January.
Yeah, and Kyle, like that's like the awkward kind of conversations we've been having here too. Is like Bills have kind of gotten to that same point too. Like some of the rookie defensive tackles have looked good. Their first round pick's a corner. We won't see Max Harrison week one. He was put on IR with designation to return. But I think for both of these organizations, it has become cool.
like you have to play the regular season, but we'll see you guys in January. On that though, like you mentioned it, you saw that Bills fans were very nervous. Where are Ravens fans at this point? Especially we're almost at 20 years. I think what this is season 18 or 19 for Harbaugh at the helm. Lamar's been here been in Baltimore as long as Josh Allen's been here in Buffalo. What is the feelings for Ravens fans?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly some impatience. I think, you know, I don't know whether the NFL starting to kind of circle the Ravens as Super Bowl darlings is good or bad for Ravens fans, because I think they're thinking the same thing. They're thinking, okay, well, like then let's get to it. And you know, but I do think there is sort of like this psychic advantage here going into it, because you know this first month the Ravens have a schedule against obviously the Bills. They play the Lions, they play the Chiefs, and those are all teams that you kind of figure, okay, those guys are going to be there at the end of the road at some point. So I think this first month, you know, if the Ravens can go 3-0 against those three contenders, I think that would be a huge psychological advantage for the rest of the season and maybe salve some people, because I think it's just a little bit sour that Lamar Jackson, who has won two MVPs, and sorry, Buffalo listeners, I'm going to die on the hill that he should have won three MVPs.
It's all good.
He has been so outstanding. He's been, you know, one of the best players of his generation, and he just doesn't have any rings yet. And obviously there are some really good players standing in his way, but I think people are kind of waiting for the era to kind of deliver on its promise.
And so on that, too, I mean, a lot of the guys that have kind of now been a part of this Jackson era, guys like Mark Andrews, who he was very much a main character in the divisional round game and will likely, at least to my knowledge, will have a big role, especially with Isaiah likely being out this weekend. You also have guys like Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman as well. You know, outside of Derrick Henry, does Jackson have enough around him to maybe get past the rest of the AFC? Because that I think for both teams against Kansas City, that has maybe been the struggle, is the offense is kind of at times go away a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, it is somewhat forgotten, and it's certainly not an excuse, because the Ravens had plenty of chances to beat Buffalo and could not seize them. But they also were missing their leading receiver, Zay Flowers, last January, and did not have, you know, a 1,000-yard receiver who went to the Pro Bowl for that game. So Zay Flowers is back. Rashad Bateman, who was in that game, he got extended. They added DeAndre Hopkins, who, you know, obviously has a ton of experience and was playing in the Super Bowl last year. I would argue that they're stronger this year around Lamar Jackson, and they've really kind of bought into sort of a combination of young talent and veteran leadership. The biggest question is the offensive line. I mean, I think the Bills have long had the advantage there. And you know, they have some young guys, but they also brought back Ronnie Stanley, who, you know, is a former Pro Bowler, former All-Pro type guy. So, you know, there's a lot to like. There's a lot of experience. It's just sort of about, all right, can you guys kind of all show up on the field all at the same time in a playoff game?
And that is going to be the interesting part of this. Kyle Goon of the Baltimore Banner joining us here on the West Her Hotline. Kyle, when it comes down to it, with how this team in Baltimore has been stacking up, you mentioned it, they look even better on paper this year. But the offseason for them, what has it been for how busy Baltimore can be? The fact that they bring back Stanley, they bring in Hopkins, they bring in Jaire Alexander, who may or may not be able to play week one, however, though. But what's it like to have that kind of an offseason, knowing that this team continues to try to gear up for that next step, much like Buffalo has been unable to take it?
Yeah, I mean, I think I think there is, you know, a bit of a wind at their back, because, you know, they look at that loss and they're like, okay, well, whatever we got is not good enough. And so they add experience at those positions. I mean, receiver was a position they needed experience at. You know, cornerback was a position they needed experience at. Their first round pick was a safety. They had problems at the safety position last year. So they really addressed what they needed to address. I think the bigger strain, and I'm sure you guys are feeling this as well, is, you know, just the future. Beyond this year, you know, Lamar Jackson's contract has a $75 million salary cap hit yet next year. That's about 25% of the salary cap. And so that's kind of the weird thing about having a great quarterback, you wait forever to have one, and then when you got to pay him, it's really hard to field the team around him. So 2025 looks great for the Ravens. 2026, oh, not so great. 2027, ooh, that's going to be tough. So Lamar Jackson has not restructured his contract. Obviously, Josh signed a new extension this offseason. The Ravens kind of need Lamar to do that and restructure his contract so they can keep, you know, staying competitive for 2026. So the present looks great. The future is very dicey because of the blessing and a curse of having a great quarterback that you have to pay a lot of money to.
Speaking on that future, Kyle, I mean, they added the Ravens two defensive pieces that I think a lot of Bills fans were keeping an eye on in Malachi Starks at safety, and then even Mike Green as an edge rusher. What have you seen from them as we get into the season?
A lot of promise. I mean, I think, you know, Starks like to see a little more just because, you know, safety can be such a complicated position, and those spine positions are so important in the NFL. Mike Green, you know, obviously he kind of comes in under a cloud of some real off-field concerns, but at the same time, when it comes to football, a lot of people on the team just seem to rave about him and just talk about, you know, his athleticism. Obviously, he's got, you know, something that I really learned about this year, which is bend. So I don't know, go watch a YouTube video about what bend is, but you know, he's just got a real aptitude for pass rushing. He's got an appetite for learning. You know, he paired with Adafe Owe and Kyle Van Noy, who've been doing this a long time. Both of them had double-digit sack seasons last year. And everything we've heard on the media side is that he's Mike Green is a guy who loves to learn, loves to get better. And I would expect he would make an immediate impact this year.
Kyle, as we get to week one, injury concerns. Obviously, I brought up about Jaire Alexander may not be able to play. Isaiah Likely also being mentioned on the injury report. Ricard, it does look like what's Baltimore's health looking like here to open the season? Because the Bills do have a problem at cornerback two right now with both Trey White and Max Hairston having injuries. Hairston on IR. But what's Baltimore looking like health-wise here coming into Sunday night?
I mean, honestly, like the crazy thing about the roster is every position you just mentioned, corner, tight end, except fullback. I mean, you know, you can't replace Ricard. But these are positions where the Ravens are really, really strong. I mean, Isaiah Likely is considered sort of the up-and-comer at tight end. Well, I mean, the Ravens also have Mark Andrews. You know, at corner, they have Marlon Humphrey. You know, they have Nate Wiggins, who's a second-year player who was a first-round pick, who is considered one of the fast risers and could be a real ball hawk this year. So I think what it really limits is the variability, the versatility that the roster has, things they can do with their alignments. You know, it takes Marlon Humphrey out of the nickel slot where he's arguably more effective, and they just can't do quite as much. But it's not exactly a glaring hole in the side of the boat. It's kind of crazy how much depth the Ravens have. I mean, they went 3-0 in the preseason. I know that doesn't mean anything, but what was remarkable to me is just how much deeper their roster looked than, you know, the Colts, the Cowboys, the Commanders. Just the Ravens have depth where other teams are just looking for answers.
And then, Kyle, last thing for me here, you did mention, I don't think you necessarily meant it this way, but Patrick Ricard at fullback. Just how important is he to the Ravens' run game with Derrick Henry?
He's pretty important. I mean, I think he played about, you know, just over 40% of the snaps last year, which is not a ton. And, you know, obviously Derrick Henry has a way of creating his own space and blowing his own holes wide open. But those two got along like gangbusters last year. I mean, you know, you look at the year before in Tennessee when Derrick Henry really struggled on his per carry average, and he, you know, I think he had like an average of like minus 1 yard when he would make that first contact with a defender, which is not good. Just no push for the Titans. And obviously, you know, when you're playing with the Ravens, when you're playing with Lamar Jackson, I mean, they've had a top five offense in a row for, I don't even know how many seasons, 4 or 5 seasons. or top rushing offense. I mean, you know, Patrick Ricard is just a huge part of that DNA and blows stuff wide open. And like I said, it just kind of limits the versatility, variability that the Ravens have. You may not know what's coming even when Patrick Ricard is on the field. But it's just a one less tool if he's not going to be able to play this weekend.
All right. Kyle, are you coming up to Buffalo for this game or are you staying at home?
I sure am coming up.
Very nice.
I wasn't a huge fan of Buffalo in the winter, but I'll try to see if I'm a fan of Buffalo in the summer. I wanted to see the difference.
It does look like the weather's going to be good, 60s to 70s. We've had a very hot summer. I don't know if Baltimore's been the same thing. We've had a very, very hot summer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Last January, I was freezing my butt off, and I'm sure the Ravens will have to freeze their butt off if they want to go through the Lombardi Trophy again. So, but hey, listen, I'll enjoy good weather when I can get it, especially in some of you northern cities here.
Absolutely. Kyle, enjoy the trip up here, and we'll talk again soon, man. Thanks for jumping on.
All right, thanks.
That was Kyle Goon of the Baltimore Banner there on the West Her Hotline.
You should text him again to be like, hey, here's the food places.
Here's the places to go get the food. That's what's going to happen.
Go do that.
here's how you make the trip worth it.
Let Kyle know how to make the trip worth it there because, again, there's a bit of a different charm when, you know, we're not slogging through the snow.
Oh, 100%. And that's the thing for a lot of these, like, northern cities especially. Beautiful in the summer, spring great, winter, it's hell. It's just cold.
Hell.
It's all right. It's just cold. It's gloomy. I am interested in that depth conversation because, you know, the Bills maybe had the opposite preseason to the Ravens where I think for many of us, we maybe were overemphasizing what was going on in the preseason at times. Because, I mean, especially the game against Chicago, it looked really bad. Now, coming away from that, it was, okay, Ben Johnson and kind of the whole Bears brass really wanted to put good tape out there. They want to have good feelings around that team. They have not won consistently in a long time. And they want to build a culture of winning. I heard Chris Brown talking about this. So they likely, you know, did what they had to do that. Where the Bills have gotten to a point with the preseason where they're like, oh my gosh, like, I guess we have to do this. It has its importance. I would just rather not do it. Maybe the Ravens were a little bit of the opposite. I'm not saying they game planned. I didn't watch any of their preseason. But maybe they do take it a little bit more seriously. I don't know the exact stats, so I didn't want to bring it up with Kyle there. But there was a period there for a number of years where the Ravens were
like
15-0, 16-0 in the preseason over however many years that was. So maybe they do take it a little bit more seriously. And to be fair, it does work for them. They're a successful organization.
That's just chickens crossing a road differently, really. Mm-hmm. Because both teams are fantastically run. Both teams are very consistent. They are all, oftentimes, the two of them, they are top-tier teams in the NFL right now. And Buffalo gets, I guess the nice way to say it is, it's sometimes kicked around in the preseason. Meanwhile, we had Baltimore again. Like you said, there was like that 16-0 run that they had on with preseason games, and they oftentimes are winning them.
Mm-hmm.
It also tells you that it ultimately doesn't matter because you have one team that does great in the preseason and they do great in the regular season. And you have another team that does typically dreadful in the preseason and they're great in the regular season. That's why the preseason pledge exists, I guess, is the way to say it. And again, these two teams, it really is a weird mindset they have to take of the real conversation for both of them starts in January. Have fun while we get there. Try to get a one seed. Separate yourself from the other. But the Bills and Ravens are birds of a feather. They are the same. And while Baltimore may have a quote-unquote Buffalo problem, I also see it as the Bills and the Ravens in particular have one red and yellow problem. One of them needs to kick that group aside. And it would benefit both parties.
And I will say this too, like for both teams, obviously, we all know which one we'd want it to be. The likelihood is that soon, Kansas City will be tossed aside by one of them. if not somebody in the AFC. It just is a statistical wonder that they've been on the run they have been on. And I know there's, you know, McDermott has already, I know the clip's been out there mentioning that, you know, no team's ever going to make it to four straight Super Bowls. The Chiefs are on that run right now. They've gone to three straight. If they go this year, it's four. But that's also a statistical wonder that that would happen, especially with how loaded the AFC is now with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. I mean, I've even heard Nick Wright, who I know many people in Buffalo don't like hearing from, but he's even mentioned, I think, on Mina Kimes' show a few months ago, mentioning that, like, the Bills will eventually get past the Chiefs. They just will. They're too good. The games are too close. Eventually, it will not go the Chiefs' way. You just hope it's in an AFC championship where, okay, now the next step is the Super Bowl rather than, cool, we got past the Chiefs. Now it's the Ravens. That's I think, always the
yeah.
I guess maybe the fear for me that kind of like locks in is like the moment you get past the Chiefs, it's all of a sudden, cool, now we get to play Baltimore. Awesome. And that's where last year I think had such that good feeling even going into the AFC championship was they aren't the best defensively. This is not their best team. It's going back to that 06 Indianapolis Colts feeling.
You
of
may
like,
have faced the better opponent already.
Or just 06 Colts. This isn't even our best team, but it's the one that's going to win, right? Like you look at 2020 as being better or 23 being, but whatever. You know, last year wasn't their best team, but they got through Baltimore. They needed a little bit of luck, but who cares? And then you get the Chiefs and you're like, here we go. And it fell short. And I guess it's where, like, I was a little thrown that Kyle was surprised that Bills fans were as, you know, nervous as they are. It's because, well, look who they keep losing to. Like, that's great that they beat the Ravens. It's great they made the AFC Championship. But they keep falling short to the dynasty of the 2020s.
There's also the respect factor, though, of
oh, right.
The Ravens themselves.
We're not going to walk through them.
We're not expected to walk. Bills fans know that the Ravens are a team that should get respect. Or at least, you know, based on the climate of what we're seeing from fans today, that it's not a great feeling for this game. And I'm still here to say, if they lose to the Ravens, they lose to the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the end of the world. And you know what? Just to help get a read in, to get connected with our fans, is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Matthew tweeted in, 2 years ago, the Chiefs lost to the Lions in the opening game of the season before going on to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And they looked bad against the Lions.
Yeah, they didn't look good. That was sort of the Lions.
That was the Lions, hey, we're here for real.
Yeah.
And that's the Lions saying, we've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
We are meant to be taken seriously within the NFC, and we're going to keep going from here. And everyone looked at the Chiefs and said, okay, what's up with you? They went on and won the Super Bowl. Because of course they did.
Mm-hmm.
Again, losing week one is not an indictment on your season. If you are a great team, it's not fun to start 0-1, but half the league does it.
Well, there are still ties, but you're right. I mean, for me, it's back to the preseason.
If there's ties, it's still half the league does it.
Right. It's for me, though, it's back to the preseason, too, of like how different a bad or up-and-coming team feels compared to a perennially very good team where, yeah, perennially very good or great team, 0-1, whatever, we're fine. Like, just move on. That sucks. It's annoying, but we're going to be fine. Bad to ascending team, Detroit from a few years ago, or just a flat-out bad team, I don't really care how you get it. 1-0, great. Every win will matter if we're trying to make the playoffs. If it's that big looking back to the Bills, you know, breaking the drought, they have a fast start to that season. And then it kind of gets muddied in the middle, and then they finish strong. You know, every win matters. And so there is a different feeling, same with the preseason. A bad ascending team gets really excited about the preseason. Young players looking good, what have you. Good teams just kind of want to get through it without any major injuries.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
803-0550 is the number to call. We'll come back on the other side here. Mike, if you're on hold, stay there. But don't forget to join us at Rally on the River Home Opener Festival Saturday, September 6th at Buffalo Riverworks. Sports Talk Saturday with myself and Joe Calley will kick off at 10 a.m. Sal Capaccio takes over the mic at noon until 2 o'clock. Admission is free. Enjoy the Mafia Boat Parade at 1, the official after party at 3 o'clock, and autographs from Deion Dawkins. There's also live music, local vendors, rides, bounce houses, and chalk artists. The Rally on the River, this is this Saturday, September 6th at Buffalo Riverworks. Details are at buffaloriverworks.com. I'm excited to be there. Be sure to join us there. And also Joe Marino from Locked On Bills will also be going on the mic at Riverworks after 2 o'clock as well. So plenty to do there. Make sure to join us. I'm excited to be there, and I hope that we see you all there. 803-0550 is the number to call. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, we're here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. Hour number two continues to roll along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on a Wednesday. It's beautiful outside. Sun is shining. Bills
it's
back to practice.
Week one. Officially week one because the practice schedule has begun.
That is right. Bills will be on the practice field a little after noon. We are expecting to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott around 11:45. That's in about 10 or so minutes. Won't be able to carry that live here, but we'll keep you posted on hopefully any injury notes we get from that. At Sal Sports, Sal Capaccio will also have you covered over on Twitter. But let's get connected to our fans. 803-0550, the number to call. And when we get connected to our fans, it is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Mike is with us next up. Mike, how we doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hey, so, you know, pass openers, like, you know, like week one, you know, I always felt like the narrative was, you know, that's just kind of getting our foot in the ground and whatnot. But, you know, this one's different, man. You know, week one, this is, you know, the narrative with, you know, the Bills playoff runs have been, you know, we need to get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And a conference game, week one, like, we need to go. And kind of the main reason I'm calling is I was listening to the guests you guys had on from Baltimore. It pissed me off, man. I'm trying to disrespect their host, but, like, just I just feel like, you know, like, Baltimore's media and players' personnel do not respect us. Right, like Lamar Jackson should have been MVP last year as well. But we're not going to talk about all the pros that Lamar had around him. Like, just the disrespect that we get from, you know, just that market over there just pisses me off. And I just feel we as a team, we need to come out, and I want to see a fired up Buffalo Bills, and I want to see a convincing win. And that's just what I need to be. Like, we need to find a reason, a way to win this game week one and continue to, like, shut off the narrative about the those are a weak defense. Like I called afternoon guys, and I really feel we have strengthened our interior defenses, and this Buffalo dime package that Buffalo soft. Like we just need to kill that narrative week one and punch the Ravens in the mouth.
Mike, thanks for the call. I don't totally know if he was being disrespectful. He was surprised people were as nervous going into this game. I understand that the
MVP thing is the MVP thing. I would love to throw that conversation away forever. Ravens fans won't let it go.
I will tell you, though. Which
is, you know what? Fine, that's your choice. That's your prerogative to stay in the method of madness, but that's your madness.
I will tell you, though, and Mike, thanks for the call. Loving that a rivalry is really starting to develop between the two fan bases, the two teams, what have you. And to a certain extent, it can be annoying, can be frustrating, especially if you're online on social media a lot. Like, it can get very vitriol. I am all for the rivalry. I am all for kind of the two teams playing into each other's destinies and their legacies and all that stuff. I absolutely love that. And yeah, to a certain extent, yeah, you've had Baltimore media, not saying Kyle's part of this, but of course we've had Baltimore media, not to name any names, but, you know, call the city a city of losers. McDermott has almost brought up that point as well.
McDermott has now several times brought it up, very fiery, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact. So, yeah, there's no love lost for that guy. I'm not going to mention his name. But
I just don't know if we're going to – in any way, I don't think you'll get a convincing win. I'm not saying the Bills can't win. What I'm saying is I don't think you're going to walk away from this going, we are just going to walk through Baltimore the next time we play them.
Right.
They're both too talented, and they're both in a similar spot to where – it's going to be the 27-25 final score, where even when you were up, 21-10, and you got the early turnovers and what have you.
Game's not over.
Game is not over. It's the same with the Chiefs. You're just not going to get a blowout win, even in the regular season when you beat them. It's happened, once?
Matter of fact, the regular season game, the Bills were starting to find their form again, and then the accursed trick play happens.
Yeah, so even without the trick play, maybe that regular season game, which, I mean, Shakir's out, they don't look comfortable. Until
Shakir gets hurt
did a little
in
bit.
That game.
Yeah, until a little bit into it. You know, you never know. But yeah, like, I mean, with the Chiefs, as much as those games have been close, you've had one, I would argue, blowout win, or at least comfortable win, mm-hmm. back in Kansas City. They had the rain delay in the middle of it, the whole thing. I think that was really the only convincing one. Every one of them
and
had been very
then,
close.
Nope. That scoreboard's deceiving. It takes an interception that is returned.
Oh, right. What is that? Is that in 22?
Yes.
Yeah.
It takes a defensive play to get that done. And even then, the Chiefs are going to try to storm back, and there's one more pick to end it all.
Mm-hmm.
So the scoreboard kind of deceived on that one, too. The rain delay game, yeah, it was the one that it was probably the most comfortable, but you
still. It was 21.
You still needed several interceptions to make sure it went away. That's how it goes. When you're facing great teams, it's never going to be comfortable.
No, but I fully get the point, though, of wanting to shut down the narrative of...
It's a tone setter, though.
The defense being bad. I absolutely agree with Mike's point, though. I think they've gotten much better on the interior of the defensive line. Look, it sucks for Dwayne Carter, but I'll stand by it. It looked like he was being lost in the shuffle. That already, mm-hmm. Deion Walker and TJ Sanders had surpassed him. We talked to Sal about an hour ago now, where Sal, you know, was absolutely singing the praises of Deion Walker and how good
right.
he has looked. And to be fair, I think most Bills fans that have watched the preseason or really just looked at anything from the preseason, he was one of the main figures, one of the main positives from that. And it's just, you know, where both teams are at. Yeah, I don't see a comfortable, convincing win. I see it much more of a thank God that's over. And you just hope you're 1-0. I think that's really what it comes down to. But I love that the rivalry is somewhat kind of fully formed now. In part, it's because of Allen and Jackson's play and them going back and forth with MVPs here and very much playing a role into, you know, each other's stories, essentially. Mahomes is this. You know, if it's not for Mahomes, Jackson and Allen probably have gone back and forth with MVPs and Super Bowls.
Right.
You know, if not for Mahomes winding up on the Chiefs, that's probably what's happening.
Even if one of these three quarterbacks ends up in another conference, it's a different story for one of them, mm-hmm. or all of them, even.
Yeah, all
like
of
you
them
said,
having to be in the AFC at the same time.
Because, as you said, then maybe one of them, the two that are still splitting against each other, it's not just about MVPs, it's about Super Bowl appearances. And you're still fighting amongst each other, though, for it. And the other one's not in the way.
Yeah.
and it's more hyper-focused. Say, for example, like Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are in the NFC North instead for some reason in this hypothetical. Does life get easier for the Bills still? Maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not to be discredited. Both of these teams are not patsies. They are not to be taken lightly, even though they are a tier below the Chiefs in terms of winning. In terms of talent, they are there. All three of them are in this Bermuda Triangle of hell,
mm-hmm.
of having to get through each other. And unfortunately for two of those teams, they get lost along the way.
I think really the only difference now that's kind of become between the two of them is, you know, where the playoff losses stem from. Who do fans blame? You know, for the Bills, it's very much become regular, and in many instances, it's correct, coaching the defense. Where with Baltimore, it is the superstar quarterback. I think many Ravens fans would blame Jackson. Turnovers really become an issue for him in the playoffs. That's kind of notorious for him now. And right. even to a certain extent, it's not as correct as it was years ago. But in the AFC divisional game, that gets away from him because the Bills win the turnover battle. It's a bad snap that's almost returned for a fumble touchdown by Von Miller. There's a pick early in that game. Just a bad miscommunication.
Oh, it wasn't even a fumbled snap. Jackson tries to do something. He slips.
Yeah, he slips. And so like that's really the differences now between the teams is that for Ravens, you're kind of looking more at Jackson going like, okay, if we pass the ball more, is it really that bad? What is going on? What's up with the turnovers? Where for the Bills, it is much more of coaching, defense. I'd argue also talent level as a whole. You know, the last caller, Mike, did bring up the All-Pros. Bills had what, like two Pro Bowlers last year?
Yeah, it's not even close.
And I think, don't get me wrong, I think a certain part of that is I think the Ravens are wonderful at promoting their players, at getting them out there on the national scene, the whole thing. The Bills, I don't want to say are bad at it, but there are too many times where I still see people, you know, saying that keep Buffalo a secret, and I can't stand that. And I hope it changes this year. I hope Hard Knocks, for as you know, kind of lackluster as it was, I hope now Benford, you know, somewhat becomes a bit of more of a known guy. Greg Rousseau, Terrell Bernard, you know, those kind of guys.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways, really. If you want to keep Buffalo a secret, and then you also want players to get some sort of recognition,
mm-hmm.
You cannot have it both ways. That is the simple thing of it. You want one or the other, and that's perfectly fine for your prerogative. I don't care if the Bills don't get the national recognition. If Bills players don't get the national recognition, I know I'm definitely opposite on you of that,
mm-hmm.
but not in a contentious way. I'm right. not worried about it. And I also don't care about it for an MVP conversation, for example. I don't need to tear the roster down in order to prop somebody else up.
Right, that was kind of weird. Let's go back to the phones here. Ron is with us next. Ron, how we doing?
Good. I just wanted to mention when you guys were talking about being in the wrong conference at the wrong time,
mm-hmm.
look back at Dan Marino. He got lost in the shuffle with all his yards and touchdowns mm-hmm. because of Kelly and Elway.
Yeah, a little bit. Thanks for the call, Ron. I think also, too, though, I don't love talking about this because I know I make people upset. The AFC was not the AFC of today in the 90s. The NFC
right.
ran the NFL for a long time. I think I don't know the exact number, but it was over, I think, 10 straight Super Bowls the NFC won. I mean, realistically, that was 49ers Cowboys going back and forth. He did get lost in the shuffle, though. His teams were significantly worse than those Bills teams. He was kind of carrying them by a thread and winning like 9 games. Like, and it's where it's a little bit different with Allen and Buffalo now. Allen and Buffalo are like regularly in for the 1 seed and the 2 seed, what have you. The Dolphins were winning like 9-10 games at times and really struggling. Marino was kind of like the only, once the Marx brothers were gone too, especially, was kind of the only guy holding that ship together. And it didn't go particularly well against much more talented Bills teams.
Now, why did you make me curious enough to look? The NFC thing.
Yeah, how many years was in a row?
1984 to 1996.
Yeah, I thought it was over 10. Yep.
And ready? The Broncos lose 4 Super Bowls. 3 of them in that span.
Yep.
The Bills lose their 4.
Mm-hmm.
The team that starts this streak? It's Miami. Marino.
Oh, yeah, in 84 against the 49ers.
Yeah. Only Super Bowl yeah. gets ragdolled.
Yeah, a lot of those Super Bowls are blowouts.
And, again, the closest one by a comfortable margin is wide right. The second closest is the Niners beating the Bengals 20-16.
Other you than said that, it ended in 90. It went to 96, right?
It went through 96 when the Packers beat the Patriots.
So then Elway and the Broncos end it with two straight.
Correct.
Yeah. Wow.
And even that one, ready? The closest was a one-point loss. The second closest was a four-point loss. The third closest was 10.
Yeah, Super Bowl was not a close game for a long time.
In the 90s?
There was a run there. It was not close.
In that mid-80s to mid-90s, it was, like you said, dominated by the NFC to a point where I had to look it up and go, man, I'm glad I wasn't alive for more than half of that.
Yeah, so it's like even if Marino wasn't on the Dolphins, he was on another NFC team, it also he had to be on the right NFC team. Mm-hmm. He's got to be Joe Montana's successor. That's not happening in 83. He's got to be on the Cowboys, but that's still the Landry teams that are eventually going to crater in the early 90s. So, it's a little bit different. I think the comparison I always go to is – you know, what if the AFC East doesn't change? What if Tom Brady all of a sudden has Peyton Manning in his division and those two are going back and forth every year for the AFC East? I think that's where, luck for both of them, they kind of had to avoid each other and only played the once and they didn't play each other in the division. It allowed the Patriots for the early part of that rivalry to really dominate, have home field advantage and such.
Oh, God, I was alive for half of this.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Wednesday morning here on WGR. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. Bills head coach Sean McDermott expected to be speaking with the media here any moment. Our own Sal Capaccio at Sal Sports will have you covered on that. We're hoping to get some sort of injury news for the likes of Trey White. Sal mentioned Christian Benford as well. The last time they all saw, the Bills out at practice, Christian Benford was standing off to the side. But for tomorrow, we will get the NFL season underway with the Thursday night opener, Philadelphia Eagles at home against the Dallas Cowboys. I think this is the first time the Eagles have been at home to start the year since like 2019.
Oh, interesting. And I guess,
I think it's been that long. And then I heard Sal Palantonio of ESPN, he mentioned too, Eagles haven't hosted Dallas to open up a season since like 1970. So there's a lot to this. I mean, of course, it's a banner-raising night for Philadelphia. But then also, it should be a bit of a blowout. I've got FanDuel up right now. Right now. And of course, this is following the Micah Parsons trade and all that stuff. The Eagles sit at 8.5-point favorites against a division rival to open up the season. That's tough. They've signed a lot of guys over the last few days. They signed their fullback. They've signed Darren Bland to a deal. Jake Ferguson. It was just Parsons. Now tomorrow night, too. We mentioned the Super Bowls for a long time weren't very good games. We've had some good openers here the last few years.
We have.
I do not think this is going to be one of them. I think it's going to be bad.
I think that having Dallas there is interesting.
Very quickly, many of us will be asking, where's the college game?
Where's the college game?
There is none tomorrow. I'm sorry.
Oh, they know NFL's king, don't they?
I'm sorry. Yeah, the next game is going to be on Friday. That's when the week starts. I'm sorry.
So that makes me feel not great.
Get ahead of everybody.
Where's my Maxion?
Yeah, get ahead of everybody.
Give me my Maxion for that.
You
have
to
watch
tomorrow.
Nope, I don't want to. I'm going to cross my arms and go, I ain't doing it. I don't want to.
So on this game, though, the Eagles really developed a bit of a super team feel by the end of the year, even though they almost lost to the Rams.
Right.
And they had moments last year where they didn't look super comfortable. Hurts for like a month couldn't even throw for 200 yards.
Nick Sirianni used his kids as a shield in a press conference after a win against Cleveland where they looked very shaky against Deshaun Watson.
But on that, have they become that feeling? Like, is that legitimate, do you think, that they might be looking at a dynastic run here, at least back-to-back?
That is the perception, and I think that it's a lie. They very well could do it, but I don't see them as this juggernaut. They have a great roster around them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like.
Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
But they've proven to be human too.
Mm-hmm.
They got hot at the right time, and even then, like you had just mentioned, though, it still almost didn't happen. It was almost an NFC Championship game between the Rams and the Commanders. And people have very short memories when you're beating the absolute tar out of the Chiefs.
And
people have very short memories because it is the Chiefs that they are putting a smackdown upon.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to remember, but it's easier to forget, especially when someone that you hate is on the receiving end of an ass whooping.
Yep. That'll do it for us today. Coming up, as I've mentioned, Sabres Live, but a reminder, and we've done a lot of it today, getting connected to our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Have a great Wednesday, everybody. Sabres Live coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.